a ton to get to on today's current sports. On today's show, we, of course, will chat all about the sporting weekend that was for Michigan State men's and women's basketball. Tom Izzo's troops falling in the final seconds on the road in College Park, Maryland, to the Terps. Melo Trimble, what a shot it was. Yeah, we'll relive that moment. As painful as that may be for many Spartan fans out there, you'll also get to hear from head coach Tom Izzo on the loss. He had some strong words when asked about whether or not he believes his team should make the tourney. You do not want to miss that. We will also break down all of the scenarios for Michigan State as they now prepare to head to D.C. to partake in the Big Ten men's basketball tournament. Is Michigan State still in, regardless of what takes place on Thursday? We'll debate about that. Also, Susie Merchant and company also fell to Maryland, this time out in Indy at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in the women's basketball Big Ten tourney. Many people believe that Susie Merchant and company are going to make the tournament. I certainly believe that. Maryland went on to win the Big Ten tourney conference championship. We'll chat about that loss to Maryland. Great effort, in my opinion. And we will have not one, but two guests on today's current sports. One guest is a pretty familiar name, Scott Pohl of WKAR's Current State. He produced a very cool esports feature that you don't want to miss. And I know what you're doing right now. You're probably scratching your head and saying, Al, what in the world is esports? I'll explain, okay? Scott will join me live in studio to bring that very interesting feature to us in just a moment. And then later on in the hour, we will invite the great Rob Smith to the show, head coach of the district champion East Lansing girls basketball team. I don't know if you heard about it or if you were in the gym to witness it, but the East Lansing girls coming out with a clutch victory over the DeWitt Panthers. We'll explain how it happened. Rob will talk about his emotions in those final moments and about regionals now for his squad this week. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. You can also join the conversation by simply going to facebook.com/currentsports. Shoot us a comment there. I will read it live here on the air, or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at my Twitter handle of at Al Martin WKAR. So as you see, so much to get to, so little time. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with the Michigan State men's basketball team, which endured a rough weekend, losing at Maryland in heartbreaking fashion. Junior guard Melo Trimble tickled the twine, drilling a tie-breaking three-pointer with 1.1 seconds left on the clock. Now, with the dub, the Terps clinched a second-place tie in the Big Ten and a double bye in this week's Big Ten tournament out in D.C., 63-60, the final of that one. Maryland enters the conference tourney as a three seed, while Michigan State, which finished the regular season 18-13, 10-8 in the Big Ten Conference, MSU has earned the number 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament and will play Thursday at 2:30 p.m. against the winner of number 12 Nebraska and number 13 Penn State. This is the first year the tournament will be played at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C. We will have more on the Michigan State men's basketball team in just a moment. The Michigan State women's basketball team is slated as an 8 seed facing 9 seed Illinois on, oh, excuse me, Michigan men's basketball. I'm sorry, the Michigan men's basketball team is slated as an 8 seed facing 9 seed Illinois on Thursday at noon. The team ended the regular season with his most dominating Big Ten win and third largest margin of victory this season, defeating Nebraska 93-57 Sunday evening inside of Pinnacle Bank Arena to reach the 20-win mark. Now, with the victory, U of M head coach John Beilein tied legendary coach Johnny Orr for most wins at Michigan with 209. senior Derek Walton Jr. posted his eighth career double-double and fourth of the season with a game-high 18 points and a U of M single-game record. Get this, 16 assists. Yes, Derek Walton was very friendly in that matchup. Good win for U of M, a team that I already think is solidified in this year's Big Dance. All right, the sixth seed Michigan State women's basketball team. Yeah, the run in the Big Ten tournament came to an end on Saturday night when the Spartans fell to number 2, Maryland, 100-89. And by the way, that triple-digit 100 is the largest scoring effort from any team in Big Ten women's basketball tourney history. So 100-89 was the final. In the semifinals, senior guard Tori Jankowska netted 31 points, a Michigan State Big Ten tournament record, including 7 three-pointers, and added 5 rebounds to lead her squad. The Terps would eventually top 5 seed Purdue by 10 points to win the tourney championship yesterday out in Indianapolis. And the Spartans now wait for the NCAA tournament selection show, which will be held a week from today. We'll have more on Susie Merchant's squad later on this hour. Michigan State hockey's bid for its first series sweep of the season fell short on Saturday night at Value City Arena. On Friday night, the Spartans were able to fend off the Ohio State Buckeyes for a 5-4 win, but on Saturday night, the team would lose 5-3. The Spartans close out the regular season with a 2-game series at first place Minnesota, 8 p.m. Friday and 7:30 p.m. Saturday out in Minne. Now, in their first series this season, the Gophers swept MSU 4-2 and 4-2 at Mount Ice Arena on December 9th to the 10th. Now, with 2 games left in the regular season, many are saying that Michigan State is likely to finish 6th. Sophomore shortstop Royce Ando was a spark both with his bat and his glove, boosting Michigan State baseball to a 6-1 win over UT Martin on Sunday afternoon at Fluor Field as the Spartans swept their 3 games of the first pitch invitational out in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, with the series sweep, the Spartans joined the 4-game season opening series at Abilene Christian as the second weekend series sweep this season for the team. Michigan State will remain out in Greenville and will play number 15 Clemson on Wednesday at 7 p.m. out at Fluor Field. Now, at Jack Turner Stadium in Athens, Georgia, Michigan State softball dropped a 5-inning decision to number 16 Georgia on Sunday after a battle that went down to the very last at-bat on Saturday evening. The Sunday rematch with the Bulldogs was decided in the early innings as the host built a 6-0 lead after 2 innings and finished off the win in 5 frames. Michigan State has an off day today, then has back-to-back midweek tilts at Georgia State on Tuesday and Georgia Tech on Wednesday. The regional girls basketball tournament begins tomorrow, and we still have 10 local teams that we are following still in the dance to make a possible appearance at the Breslin Center. Here is how the schedule looks for tomorrow. In Class A at Sturgis, Mason will take on Kalamazoo Central at 6 p.m., and then after that matchup, East Lansing will take on Battle Creek Lakeview, a 7:30 p.m. tip time. In Class B at Don Johnson Fieldhouse here locally in Lansing, Eaton Rapids will take on Portland at 6 p.m. and Williamson will take on Grand Rapids South Christian at 7:30. Class B at Frankenmuth, Ithaca versus Saginaw Swan Valley at 6 p.m. and then Corunna versus Freeland at 7:30 p.m. Class C at Granville Calvin Christian, Muskegon Western Michigan versus Springport at 5:30, and then EW, Pawama Westphalia versus Grand Rapids Covenant at 7 p.m. Class D at Merrill, Genesee Christian versus Deckerville at 6 p.m. Portland St. Pat's versus Saginaw MLS at 7:30. And then Class D at Adrian Linaway Christian, Hillsdale Academy at Ann Arbor Rudolph Steiner at 5:30 p.m., and then Morris versus Pittsford at 7 p.m. The boys basketball district action begins tonight. We will keep you updated on local teams that stand the rain and survive throughout the week. The Detroit Pistons, winners of 2 of the last 3, will play host to the Chicago Bulls at the Palace tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Pistons coming off a 30-point win over the Philadelphia 76ers on Saturday. It was a season high for points for Detroit, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope scored 13 of his 26 in Detroit's dominating third quarter. Detroit also shot a season-best 56.8%, making 54 of 95 field goals. That is very impressive. But again, hey, it's against Philly, right? The Pistons are currently holding down the eighth and final playoff spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference, right below 7-seed Chicago. So a lot on the line, I guess you can say, at the Palace tonight. And last but not least, the Detroit Red Wings currently have a 2-game losing streak, with the most recent loss coming on Saturday night against the Edmonton Oilers. 4-2-3, the final. The Red Wings had to play with 5 defensemen after Ryan Sproles sustained a lower body injury early in the second period. Red Wings at the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527.
Just enough space to get the shot off, and wow, Stang Mello just does it again.
Well, it is a busy week, and the committee members will start coming in Monday and Tuesday. We'll submit an initial ballot on Wednesday. After that initial ballot, we'll go through the process of continuing to select teams and starting to seed teams, and that'll go through Thursday and Friday. Saturday, we start to have the first real look at maybe what a bracket's going to be looking like. But that really comes together very quickly on Sunday morning once we start getting those results in from the various tournament championships.
So it really doesn't take an awful lot of time to bracket. The real time is spent on selecting and seeding. Is that correct?
5 years ago, biggest surprise I had as a first-year committee member is how fast. I think the assumption is the bracketing's taking place throughout the entire week, and it's not. It's a Sunday morning process.
Gotcha.
And that is how we start this Monday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I'm your host, Al Martin. So glad you've allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. And as is custom here on Current Sports each and every Monday, we will try our best to recap all of the wild and wacky local sporting action and beyond here on the show. A ton taking place over the weekend. You just heard the voice of Mark Hollis, who is, of course, this year the chairman of the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Selection Committee. Mark commenting on the process, what goes into selecting the 68-team field. What do they look at? How does this week go about? So as you heard, Mark, it starts on Wednesday. You get your first peek at how the bracket is coming along on Saturday. And then you heard that last snippet where he says it's a Sunday morning process as the results of various conference tourney champions are crowned. And then they can start looking at the big picture here, right? Prior to that, you heard the heartbreak out in Maryland for Michigan State Spartan fans as Mello Trimble. What a shot it was What a final play. Michigan State backing off of him just enough to release that deep three-pointer. It goes nothing but net. He looks at the crowd. He points at his jersey. And, yeah, there was still time left. 1.1 seconds left as the Maryland bench stormed the court. Michigan State was able to find Miles Bridges for a pretty good look, I must say. A pretty good look to try and tie things, to send it into overtime. That, of course, clanked off the iron, and down goes Sparta. So I'm going to dive in that in just a minute, and then I also want to acknowledge, of course, Youngstown State with 20 losses on its resume. Really didn't figure to have much of a chance in the Horizon League quarterfinals against numero uno, number one seed Oakland, but the ninth seeded Penguins pulling off the improbable and crushing the Golden Grizzlies NCAA tournament hopes possibly in the process. Again, we don't really know that for sure, but that loss is going to hurt the Golden Grizzlies. I saw Joe Lenardi's bracket of ESPN heading into that Youngstown State game, and he had Oakland listed pretty high, you know, like a 11, 12, something like that, 15, maybe even that. So we'll see what pans out for OU. A great year nonetheless for Greg Campy and company, and a wild, wild weekend. So let's dive right into it. I know many of you Spartan fans are asking the question right now with Michigan State, currently on a two-game losing streak. Does Michigan State deserve to be in the big dance? Deserve to be in the NCAA tournament? Well, you look at Michigan State as a whole for the year, 18-13 to finish out the season, 10-8 in the Big Ten Conference. And a little bit of history for you guys out there, for you fans out there that are a bit uneasy when evaluating this two-game losing streak heading into the Big Ten tournament out in Washington, D.C. Since the field expanded to 64 teams back in the mid-80s, if you remember, get this, only 11 teams, just 11 teams, have made the tourney with 14 losses. So again, we don't know what's going to take place on Thursday, but hey, we all know that if Michigan State gets just one win, in my opinion, I believe the magic number is one right now. If they just get one win out in D.C. at the Big Ten tournament, you can safely put Michigan State in the big dance. But for kicks and giggles, let's say Michigan State loses to whoever they play on Thursday, right? And they do get 14 losses. Again, only 11 have done so with that many in the L column. And no team with 14 losses has made the big dance dating back to 2011. That's the last time that happened. That year, 5 14 loss teams actually made the tourney. One of which was, ding, 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 the Spartans, Michigan State. Michigan State was joined by Marquette, Tennessee, Penn State, and USC during that year. So before I dive into the resume, first I want to give a huge shout out to a man who is filling in for current sports regular engineer Isaac Constance. Of course, many people forget that Isaac is still a student. And this week is a bit quiet here on the campus of Michigan State University, seeing as though it is spring break for many students out there. So right now we have our dear friend Brad Walker filling in. For Isaac Constance. A big thanks to you for pinch hitting for Isaac, Brad. And, you know, it's so fun to have you on the show this week because you and I, we have numerous sports conversations on any given day here at the WKAR office. So you know your sports, my man. And of course, we've been debating back and forth whether or not the Spartans deserve to be in the tourney right now. I just want to get your general assessment of what has taken place in this two-game losing streak with the loss to Illinois on the road, with the loss to Maryland in heartbreaking fashion on Saturday. At this point, Brad, how confident are you in saying that Michigan State deserves to be in the dance?
100%. They're in.
You think so?
Yeah, they're absolutely in the tournament. And I think about the Big Ten tournament, and if they lose to either Penn State or Nebraska, do they still make it? And I think they do. I think they're going to give them the pass and let them play as a probably a 10 seed, 11 seed, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I think so.
Regardless of what happens on Thursday,
regardless,
right?
Yeah, I think they're in.
Now, you look at MSU's resume, folks. Six top 50 wins. A 2-6 mark against the RPI top 25. One really bad loss, I must admit. That took place to Northeastern, which is a RPI 125 team, right? That was ugly. I understand that. But they also have a non-league strength of schedule of 21. We all know how Time Izzo loves to schedule every single year. Very top-heavy. They play Kentucky, Arizona, and Duke. Three heavy hitters to begin the season. And I always think back to about what could have been against Arizona, especially because MSU, if you remember, led number 8 Arizona 17-2 to open that game, to open the season out in Hawaii before falling on that last second full length of the court layup, 65-63, buzzer beater. That one hurt for Michigan State. A game Izzo really... Really, he always brings it up. It just really haunts him. It's haunting him throughout this entire season. And speaking of Time Izzo, Coach Izzo, before we bring in our very own Scott Pohl to issue this very cool feature that we want to play for you all, I want to just play two snippets from Coach Izzo. This first one, after, of course, the dust had settled, out in Maryland, Mello Trimble, big shot. This is what Izzo had to say concerning his team's preparation before tip-off against the Terps.
Unbelievable. You know, we were so tired. We had midterm exams. I thought it was poor that the Big Ten office put us in this position to play Sunday, Wednesday night at 9 and then travel here. We got in late. We had a shoot around here at 9:30 at night. So a good excuse. If someone doesn't like it, I really damn. I think that's ridiculous to do to a student athlete. But, you know, we didn't practice very well Thursday. We just kind of walked through. We were walking on our hands. We got in at 3 in the morning, and they had 5 midterms. And then on Friday, we were average practice, and we had to make the big debate on whether we shoot around here. And our plane was late, and so we didn't get in here until 9:30. And for some ungodly reason, Miles Bridges was so during the shoot around, and it just kind of changed the whole momentum. So when we got back to the hotel and ate at 10:30, there was just a different demeanor. And listen, that's a good team we beat. In a tough environment. I couldn't ask for more of my guys. We made our mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. I'm sure Mark's freshman made some mistakes too. But, I'm about as proud as I could be of them. You know, we out-rebounded them.
So, again, head coach Time Izzo of the MSU men's basketball team commenting on his team's preparation before that road regular season finale at Maryland. He talked about how, you know, having a midweek 9 p.m. game while also trying to go through midterms. He felt as though his team could have been more prepared. And he does blame the Big Ten and the NCAA scheduling for that. So Izzo was, of course, a bit on edge, as you can imagine, after a loss like that, right? Izzo was asked whether or not, when evaluating the regular season now and looking back at things, again, Michigan State, 18-13 currently, 10-8 in the Big Ten, whether or not his team makes a solid case to make the NCAA tourney. And here is what Coach Izzo had to say.
I really don't care. I say that about as honestly as I can. You know, I've heard nothing about the schedule we've played. We played 3 number one teams. And if I go into that, then I'm looking to plead. We're 10-8. I think I blame all you guys. So I'm going to blame everyone in this room. We have not done a good job in promoting the Big Ten. You know, the ACC must have, I mean, I don't know, Virginia loses a game and it's because everybody else is good. The Pac-10, Walton's out there at Champions Conference. You know, nobody talks about our conference. That's our fault. That's your fault. That's my fault. If you think it's easy to go on the road in this conference and win anywhere, you know, and maybe Penn State was a place that doesn't sell out and we played them in the Palestra. Shows you how frickin' dumb I am. But, you know, our resume, you know, did we beat any of those teams? No. We played 3 number one teams in Arizona. You know what? I'm not I don't lose sleep over a streak. What I'll lose sleep over is losing a game that I thought our kids played their hearts out. And we're a good enough team to be in that tournament, in my opinion, but I'm prejudiced. And whatever they think, that's what they do.
Tom Izzo. I really wish Tom Izzo would just be honest with us sometimes. I tell you what, he's always candid, isn't he? Tom Izzo talking about how he believes that his team has done enough. And he blames the media. He blames himself for the Big Ten not getting its due publicity throughout the year. And later on this hour, I'm going to go into why I believe the Big Ten has not been publicized the way that other conferences in college basketball has. We'll get to that later on in the show. But again, we're taking your calls and I'm reading your comments on whether or not you believe that Michigan State has done enough to make a compelling case that they believe that they deserve, I should say, to be in the NCAA tourney. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we hit our first break, I want to bring to you a very interesting feature from our very own Scott Pohl. Televised sports come in all sorts of forms. This time of year, basketball, of course, dominates sports broadcasting, but there's hockey too. And spring training baseball is also getting started. At the Big Ten Network, they are adding something different to the lineup. League of Legends. Teams from conference schools are competing right now in the popular video game. And the championship will be televised at the end of March. WKAR Scott Pohl reports on bringing esports to TV.
The end goal is get to the enemy base and destroy their nexus, which is like, you know, it's basically their whole base. You destroy that and you win. That's as simple as it gets, really. But getting to that point is where the game really is and what takes a lot of knowing how to play and just practice.
That's Connor McDougall, an MSU sophomore computer science major from Okemos. He's captain of MSU's League of Legends team. Last year, MSU squared off against a team from Ohio State University in a match that was streamed on the Big Ten Network's online service, BTN To Go, complete with play-by-play commentary.
In the front line, they've got to focus him down with the mage. They do plenty of damage. Dynasty lives, but here comes the Vel'Koz punishment, and it's a lot. Andy Mama chased down by Nexevis.
If that didn't make any sense to you, you're not alone. But you should know that esports have become both competitive and popular with viewers. Connor McDougall watches the professionals. Yes, there are people making a living playing video games for fun and to improve his own game. One of those pros, Hai Lam, came out of MSU. As a viewer, McDougall compares watching others play League of Legends to the recent popularity of poker on TV.
A lot of these tournaments, there's, you know, there's fans, there's teams that you cheer for. You really hope they win. Like, if they win, you win in a way. I know there's some gambling sites even for these things, and some of the tournaments have just really big prize pools. So it's exciting naturally to know, you know, someone's going to leave here with $1 million. You want to watch and find out. Same thing with poker, except poker probably has a lot more money on the line.
After streaming that Michigan State-Ohio State game last year, the Big Ten Network decided to involve more Big Ten schools. They've assembled a regular season schedule and a postseason playoff, and some of those matches can be watched online on Monday nights. The championship game will be on your Big Ten Network TV channel March 27.
Now running back the other way around. Wants to try to buy some time so his base can live a little bit longer. But there's the ace. Now to find the Minuwave, which is over in the top lane. But they've got 20 seconds to work with.
Spokesperson Aaron Harvigo says BTN is the first conference TV network to carry esports, and they don't know what kind of audience to expect.
For us, this is a pilot year. It's something that, you know, we're testing out and seeing, you know, what is our best long-term esports strategy. So we know there are a lot of esports fans out there. You can see it by the numbers of people that sell out like a Madison Square Garden or Staples Center within minutes. So we know there's a lot of interest. And I think it's like any other programming that we do. There are going to be the football fans. There's the basketball fans, the hockey fans, the wrestling fans. We think there's a whole new subset of esports fans that haven't had the opportunity to view this programming, and we're really excited to bring it to them.
Connor McDougall of the MSU League of Legends team foresees a day when e-games are sanctioned collegiate sports complete with recruiting and scholarships. He hopes that will one day include Michigan State.
That's going to be the winners of the Big Ten Network Invitational in League of Legends.
If enough people play and enough people watch, the age of varsity esports teams at schools around the country could become a reality. The telecast of the Big Ten League of Legends title game might just be the first step down that path. For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.
Ah, what a story. Thank you so much, Scott. And Scott joins us right here live in Studio S for a brief post-wrap of that great feature. First off, Scott, I want to ask you, I mean, what was the most challenging part for you when attacking a story so different? You know, because I had never heard of esports until you posed it to me a few weeks back. And I'm like, what? They're broadcasting video games now. 2017, right?
Well, this match with Ohio State from a year ago, you can still find it online. And it's 3 hours long. It's like a broadcast of a football game.
Right.
They bring out the starting lineups like they do on NFL broadcasts, introduce them one by one. And the guys who do the play-by-play are really something.
Right.
You heard some of it in this story. So the challenge, I did not watch all 3 hours.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you didn't.
but what I did was go through it, fast forward to new sections and so on. I wanted to make sure I had the end of the match, which you heard at the end of the piece there. But I also wanted to get the level of excitement of the announcers saying things that made absolutely no sense to me at all since I don't play the game. So that was the fun part of the production of that story.
And that's the thing. I mean, also, why did they choose League of Legends? I mean, this must be one of the most popular games in the nation if they're attacking it from this angle.
Well, League of Legends has an enormous worldwide playing and viewing following. Are you familiar with the website Deadspin?
Yes.
Deadspin, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, there is some adult content on Deadspin. I'm going to warn people.
Right, forewarning, right.
Deadspin is, right now, you could find a couple of stories on the Deadspin website about a worldwide competition in League of Legends that's going on right now. And enormous crowds in the arenas, like they go there like you go to a Pistons game at the Palace.
Wow.
You go there to watch people play a video game. And that's why I think it has a future on television. If you had told me before they started putting poker on TV that people would sit and watch other people play poker on TV, I would have expressed doubt that it would be a ratings success. Look at what happened with poker on television. I think it has absolutely a future on TV.
So this has a lot of potential. That was the next question.
So.
Okay.
I think so.
Is this a glimpse? I think an obvious glimpse, Scott, if you ask me. But is this a glimpse in your eyes as to where sports broadcasting, how it's evolving and how it's changing over time?
Well, I think it's absolutely an evolution in sports television to see something like video games. Because their webcast from that match last year with Ohio State, what you saw on the screen much of the time is what the players were seeing on the screen. You didn't see the players themselves.
Right.
You just saw the video game on your screen. There would be cutaways to shots of the teams. But for the most part, you were just watching the monitor that they were watching as they played.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who want to learn how to play better, that's absolutely something that will attract viewers. Like, I don't watch football to make myself a better football player because
right.
I don't play football anymore. I watch it because I enjoy watching it.
Exactly.
And I think you're going to see a growing audience for League of Legends and possibly other games on TV.
Scott Pohl, great story. And you know what?
Thanks.
Previewing this story, I kind of had flashbacks back to my video game playing days. It made me want to bring back out the joystick. So, fun story. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with Rob Smith, head coach of the district champion East Lansing girls basketball team. What a game it was Friday night out at EL High School. We'll give you a full recap of that and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, we began our show by addressing the big question. Will the Michigan State men's basketball team make the 2017 NCAA tournament? I want to read two comments on our Facebook page here, facebook.com/currentsports, before pushing along this train. Romero says, quote, "This is sad but true. I just hope we prove people we belong starting on Thursday." Ben Grimes says, quote, "I believe that we belong in the big dance, but not because of our record. I believe it will be based on our brand name and because Tom Izzo is our head coach." And Brad, I think that's a good point because, you know, you look at things, you can't ignore the fact that this is Michigan State we're talking about. This is Tom Izzo. This is who is being dubbed, who has been dubbed as Mr. March. This is what he does around this time of the year. Despite the fact that we could be talking about a Michigan State men's basketball team that has 14 losses before the selection show, Michigan State's name holds a lot of weight. I think that will be on the mind of a few committee members. And, you know, yeah, look who the committee chair is, Brad.
It won't hurt to be Michigan State to have that name with you. I mean, we're going to say this team is going to be at least 18-14 on the year. I mean, they could be 19-14. I mean, the winner plays Minnesota. We've beaten Minnesota twice this year. Mm-hmm. We could, when it's said and done, we could be 20-14 before making a run at Purdue again. So the record will look even better, and we know we'll be in the tournament, and we'll probably be a little bit even higher if we win our next two games. Mm-hmm. So
right,
the possibilities are endless. But 18-14, if they bow out in the first round, I think they make it, but I think they might make it on their name and the schedule that they played.
Right. I believe that as well. I think if they do lose on Thursday, they will make the tournament, but it will be by the skin of their teeth for mm-hmm. sure, without a doubt. And, you know, two brief points I want to make about the game against Maryland. I really liked the way that Nick Ward and Miles Bridges played together, Brad.
They did.
I think that those two have a great chemistry on the court. That chemistry has been developed over time throughout the season, but I love the way those two played on the court with one another on Saturday. Nick Ward, though, that brother has to learn how to stay out of foul trouble
yep.
to start the game, because then you put a lot of pressure on guys like Kenny Goins and Matt Van Dyke, for goodness sake, to come in and try to hold down the fort. That's going to hurt against bigger teams. Nick Ward has got to play smarter throughout the game. Also, the wings have got to play better. Alvin Ellis, you look at, even though I love Cassius Winston, I think that he has to give you more consistent play throughout the game. But the wings in this game, I thought, really hurt Michigan State. Matt McQuaid has to shoot better. He's had woes throughout this entire year. The wings didn't give Michigan State much.
What I liked about Michigan State, though, in the second half was they kept doing something that kept working. They kept giving the ball to Nick Ward, mm-hmm. and it kept working over. They just kept throwing it in. Like you say about the guards, though, those wings, once they went away from it and put the dagger with an Alvin Ellis three or a Matt McQuaid three, they missed them.
For sure.
And I thought those would be daggers right there with Michigan State to win that game. At least they kept going with Nick Ward, which was the smart thing to do. But missing those two shots, just, I mean, they were at 60-60 for the longest time. Mm-hmm. They could have scored on the next two or three possessions, and they couldn't do it.
Without a doubt. Now, I do want to give a credit to your man with the bow, Alvin Ellis, right? I don't know why, but Brad Walker loves when Alvin Ellis does that dang bow thing. And you guys know I hate on it the time.
Give me that bow every time.
That was the symbol of my rival fraternity when I was at Michigan State University. So I hate the celebration. But Alvin Ellis, though, I want to give him props, because there were times where it looked like Maryland was going to blow the game open, Alvin Ellis would hit a three or hit a nice little jump shot mm-hmm. here and there to keep Michigan State in the game. His game has really evolved throughout his career. They're going to need more from him, though, as the year moves along. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our second guest for today's Current Sports. What a game it was on Friday, folks. Junior Osnai nailed the go-ahead bucket as the East Lansing girls basketball team topped DeWitt Friday night 48-47 in the Class A district final. Nye finished with 21 points, avenging a one-point loss to the Panthers earlier in the year. This is now a second straight district title for the Trojans as they now rev up and get ready for regionals. Right now, we have the head coach of the Trojans on line one, our dear friend Rob Smith. Rob, how you feeling, my man?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great, Al. It was really difficult to set aside Friday's events from my mind to get ready for a Battle Creek Lakeview because it was such an extraordinary night and such an awesome victory by our kids that it was hard not to continue to go over and over some of those moments in the film. And of course, a lot of people that contact you and congratulate, you know, the team and such. Well, I'll tell you, I wish you'd play a game like that. You'd think you'd be going to the Breslin, but we'd have to win three more.
Right. Exactly. And you know, Rob, you know, you look at a game like that and it was everything that high school basketball should be about. I mean, it's just such a back and forth, gritty effort, everybody giving it all they had on the hardwood. Can you take us in those last few moments when it was so back and forth? I know Jessa McManus hitting a corner three for DeWitt to give them its first lead since the first quarter. What did you do to try and keep your team focused and even keel in the final moments?
Well, you know, we had an 18-point lead, so like we did at their place in the first game on December 6th, where they were able to come back and beat us actually at the buzzer by a point. And so, you know, I'm thinking, my gosh, we had an 18-point lead, and they just take the lead. And, you know, I let those thoughts start to creep in my head that, wow, you know, maybe it's not meant to be. And then I said, you know, Smith, you got to pull it together here mentally and say something to these kids, you know. And there's about 40 seconds left, and I called the timeout. We're down one. I said, of course, we're going to try to trap and steal the ball, and if we can't, we're going to foul Dawes. And of course, then we did, and she missed, and we came down and went ahead, and just lickety split, they come down and get a backdoor cut by Grace George to go ahead one, and we get it in right away with no timeouts, and Ash comes down and makes an incredible, I mean, just unbelievable move to the basket and gets one off the glass to, seems like it hit every part of the rim and sat up there for about 5 seconds and went in. And then they come down and they weren't quite ready to do what they want to do. And so Bill McCullen called his last timeout with 2 point, it was like 1 second left. I don't know how they did it again, but they got another opportunity to the basket. But this time, Jada Hampton made the block on George. And I had to go back and watch it on film to make sure it wasn't a foul. And it was just a great block. She wasn't in great position, but she made a great block. And, of course, it went out with 0.1. And they say that, you know, you have to get a tip of some sort quickly to even get a shot off of that kind of time. And, you know, the refs were blowing it off before they even shot it up. So we knew we had won. And then just complete exuberation, I guess you could say. We were just so exhilarated and just so excited about being able to practice again on Monday and having the opportunity to be back in a regional again and maybe get another shot at it, you know?
And I saw your comments in the post game, Rob. You were filled with a ton of emotion, and you just told your troops, hey, just get us to practice on Monday. Just get us to practice on Monday. And you guys did come up with a huge defensive stop with the block on Grace George. But when George hits that inside shot to give DeWitt the lead, and then Oz takes it herself. Again, you have no timeout. You can't set up anything. Was it already designed for Oz just to take it herself and try and make something happen?
Well, you know, in the timeout, we just said, you know, I told the kids, you know, we're going to win the game. And it could go back and forth. And, you know, if we have to foul, we're down. But, you know, when we have it, go to the rim. You know, we didn't set up any plays. You know, we just wanted to go to the basket. And, of course, at that point in time, I think it's the best thing to do because kids don't want to foul either. You know, they're playing a little bit tentatively. You know, at that point, and, you know, not to foul and just put their hands up. And so she had the opportunity and she took it, and the rest is history.
You know, what I love watching about Oz is that she is such a fierce competitor who really wears her emotions on her sleeve. Has she always been that way, Rob? And how do you coach a competitor like Oz, who has a lot of talent to go with that as well?
So, you know, the coaching staff here at East Lansing has spent a lot of time with Ajani, and she is a fierce competitor. Like you said, she does get emotional, like a lot of kids do at that age. And but what's really awesome about her now is that she's really come, you know, a long ways in terms of being able to control her emotions and to channel, you know, her play in a more positive way. And really, the negative now is far less, and the positives are far outweighing any of the negatives. And so, as you saw Friday, when we needed her, she was in. She had some times in the third quarter where she started to struggle when they came back, and I had a few people mention, oh, maybe we should give her, you know, maybe give her a little break. And I said, you know what, they say that you got to dance with the one that you brought. And I was like, this young lady's been through a lot. I'm going to win or lose with her out there. And so we just kept her in, and wow, she rewarded us for that decision.
And that was certainly the right decision, right, Rob? She finished with 21 points again. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the head coach of the district champion East Lansing girls basketball team, Rob Smith. Again, now the team will prep for Battle Creek Lakeview. That will be a 7:30 p.m. game tomorrow night. For you, Rob, you know, when you look at your team, what I found to be very interesting, and we had actually Brian Calloway of the Lansing State Journal on a couple weeks ago to talk about this interesting dynamic for your squad, is that you guys have not one, not two, but three sets of sisters on the team. How did that come about, Rob?
Well, so Tori Clark and McNutt played for me a couple years there back in 07, 08. And she's an assistant coach, and her sister, Amelia McNutt, is our starting shooting guard. And then you have the Nye twins, who are freshmen, who moved up here with their sister, Ajani, who's a junior from Alabama. And then you have Jada Hampton, whose sister is with Kalea Hampton. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the sisters are the three younger sisters are freshmen.
Right.
And then, of course, the older ones are juniors. And so that's an interesting dynamic in terms of, you know, sometimes they're treating each other like sisters, and probably some things that get said, if it was just a regular teammate, you probably would have to call them out, but because they're sisters, you just kind of let it go.
So they get more personal. They're not afraid. They don't bite their tongues then, knowing that, hey, that's my sister.
No, not at all. There's been some interesting, disputes, to say the least, but, in the end, though, I mean, it's all good. It really works out well because there's so much love there and so much compassion and determination to, you know, for those kids to look after their sisters and compete with them. And so I think it's really helped the team.
Rob, you all now play, as I mentioned, Battle Creek Lakeview at Sturgis tomorrow night. How have you all been preparing for that game?
Well, you know, right away Saturday, I sent out an email to the coaches to see, you know, what they would like to take on in terms of their part in preparing for Lakeview, and everybody signed up for a different job. And Cosette Buckberry, who's my main scout and filmer, as well as our freshman coach, she put together the actual scouting report based on the feedback that she received from all of the coaches. And so, I just kind of oversaw that, and I spent more of my time just watching film, you know, rather than preparing the scouting report, which was extremely helpful to be able to just focus on that. You know, it's a quick turnaround. So just like when we had to play Grand Ledge, we were still preparing somewhat for DeWitt. I think that even though you're playing Battle Creek Lakeview, the reality is you play the regional championship if you win Thursday night. And so you only have one day to prepare for the team that you're going to play. So you really had to get ready for Kalamazoo Central and Mason as well during that period of time. So you try not to over do it in terms of prep for the championship game, but you can't wait. wait just until Wednesday to do it. So it was an all-weekend kind of venture.
Oh, I'm sure. And I know you have a remarkable coaching staff around you that is scrambling to get the film and to break down things before that matchup even comes later on in the week. And how do you think you all match up against Battle Creek Lakeview? What makes them a special team, and what must you guys have to do tomorrow night in order to slow them down?
Well, yeah, they won 20 in a row, and we played them last year in the regional semi, and they were mainly juniors, and now they're seniors, and so there's going to be a lot of pride on the line for them. They have two big kids that do a nice job and three nice guards and four kids off the bench that are role players that do pretty well. And I liken them to a team like Grand Lodge pretty much. Maybe not quite as good as outside shooting team as Grand Lodge, but they have a couple kids that can knock it down. And they have a D2 soccer player as a point guard, so she can really move the ball and her body on the floor. But I'm excited to get back to playing East Lansing basketball, because when you play DeWitt, they're so good and they're so well coached that they take you out of so much of what you do. You can end up doing some things that you're not as comfortable with sometimes just to negate some of their strengths. And I feel like tomorrow night we're going to be able to play a lot more of our typical style of, up and down the floor and pressing and so on and so forth.
Rob, final question for you. Again, it's March, baby. Winning time. How much potential does this team have to get to the Breslin and possibly win the entire enchilada?
Well, I think we're going to be in every game. I really like the teams coming out of the West. They're really, really good teams. Muskegon Mona Shores would be a potential quarterfinal, or in East Kentwood, once again, Hudsonville finds themselves in that regional, the team that beat us last year. And then it gets real difficult. A semifinal would be like a Martin Luther King, possibility of a Warren Cousineau as returning state champs, as four returning starters on the other side of the bracket. So it would be, I wouldn't say it'd be Hoosier-like, but with our youth and inexperience, of course, not having a senior.
Yeah.
It would be quite a task to pull it off, but you know how it is. You know, you just kind of take one game at a time and see what you can do with what you have in front of you. And you know, on any given night, you know, I feel like we could win.
Well, I tell you what, Rob, we are wishing you the best of luck, my friend, and keep doing what you're doing, because it's obviously working, all right?
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for having the program on, and appreciate what you guys do for high school basketball.
Thank you so much, Rob. Rob Smith, head coach of the district champion East Lansing girls basketball team. Let's hit our brief second break, come back, and we will put a bow on this Monday afternoon version of Current Sports right here on WKAR. AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a great chat with Rob Smith, head coach of the East Lansing girls basketball team. Again, the Trojans have made it to regionals, and it was a ridiculously entertaining game on Friday night, 48-47 at East Lansing High School. The Trojans beating the DeWitt Panthers. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, like this time of the year. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, the big dance, right? College basketball, Tom Izzo, Mr. March, heck, even Susie Merchant's team, which I think is a shoe-in now to make the NCAA tourney. But, you know, hey, we cannot forget about high school hoops because I just love covering high school sports, folks. It's one of my favorite parts of my job, and a game like Friday night is certainly why. So we're wishing Rob Smith best of luck. Again, we have 10 local teams in girls high school basketball action that have made it to the regional tourney. We have Mason, of course, East Lansing, Eaton Rapids, Portland, Williamston, Ithaca, Corunna. We're also following Springport, PW, Portland St. Pat, Hillsdale Academy, and Morris. So 10 local teams still in that dance. Looking forward to seeing how they all perform tomorrow evening. Again, the big question that we've been posing throughout this hour is whether or not the Michigan State men's basketball team will make the NCAA tourney. And another thing I want to bring up, you know, we've talked about the schedule. I mentioned history here. Only 11 teams have made the tourney with 14 losses since the field expanded to 64 teams back in the mid-80s. And, you know, you look at Tom Izzo and how he schedules big dogs to start the year every single year, it seems like, right? And another question that you have to think about here in this conversation is whether or not Michigan State should be punished by playing the top-heavy schedule that they did. Now, granted, they didn't fare that well when playing teams like Kentucky, losing to Arizona in the final minutes, and also losing to Duke, right? But do you reward Michigan State for even taking that task along? So that's the question I'll dive into more so on tomorrow's show. The Spartans did not show good results against those top 25 teams they played. MSU just 1-6 against those seven current USA Today top 25 opponents. And as it stands, Izzo's team entered Saturday with an RPI at number 45 and a strength of schedule at number 9. I'm one of those who believe that if you play some of the top in that sport, win or lose, that has to count for something. We'll expand that conversation tomorrow, folks, but in the meantime, I want to give a big thanks to our very own Scott Pohl, East Lansing girls basketball coach Rob Smith, also my man Brad Walker for pinch hitting for Isaac Constance, who will be out this entire week for spring break. We'll be back at it, same time, same place tomorrow, ladies and gents. As always, you have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.